And we're going back to deal with this subject. We've been dealing with Babylon. You remember Babylon? And we've been dealing with Babylon. We'll get off of Babylon tonight and go to something else, but I've got to finish a little bit here on the subject of Babylon. Babylon will be destroyed. Remember I told you Babylon started off in Genesis, and then we've got three other books in between that. It ends up in Revelation. That's two books. Then there's three in the middle. We've got Daniel, Jeremiah, and Isaiah that talk about them three, or talks about that place called Babylon too as well. And we've dealt with Isaiah, we've dealt with Jeremiah, we've dealt with Daniel, and we was in Revelation when I quit the other night. So let's, first of all, before we go to the Word of the Lord, amen, let's go to the Lord of the Word and ask God's guidance tonight and speak. And then we'll read the Scriptures. Fathers, we bow in Your presence. I pray tonight, Lord, You give us wisdom and understanding. And Lord, this subject, which is so important, Lord, it's so needful this hour, and realizing, God, that church folks, many of them, Lord, do not understand the importance and the necessity and the place in the Scriptures that the Jewish people have. And Lord, they can't see the church in the fullness. And Lord, they just cannot see the way You've got it arranged and how it's going to end up. Lord, we thank You tonight for the Word of God that can teach us. We praise You for Your goodness and mercy. Have Your own way tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now go to Revelation chapter 16. We read this Scripture. We'll read it again to get started. We're talking about Babylon. In the tribulation hour, when the saints are called out of here, the rapture takes place. Then we know that there's going to be a time of Jacob's trouble, a time of tribulation, as this world has never known. That's what he said in the book of Matthew chapter 24. A time of Jacob's trouble like it's never been. And it's going to be tremendous. Realizing tonight that we are in the day of the Gentile. These are the times of the Gentiles. And the Gentile day does not finish. It started over here in the book of Daniel when they started taking and running and ruling. And remember, the Babylon is the ones that took over and stopped the kingship of the Jew and put them on the run. Matter of fact, Babylon took them into captivity, and for 70 years they were under Babylonian captivity. They destroyed their temples. And then you remember they gave a decree. Cyrus is the one who gave the decree that they could go back into Jerusalem and rebuild the temple. And they rebuilt that temple, and that temple stayed until in A.D. 70 when Titus and the Romans destroyed that temple. And they haven't had that temple back. And they're looking for it. The Jew is looking for that. He's going to the Wailing Wall every day praying, God, send us the Messiah. They're praying for the Messiah. Now, by saying that, since I've taught this before, things have happened. And I've looked at it in the news. We know that the Pope, just a few days ago, went over and seen them. Amen. Went to Israel. And there I saw him hugged up with a Jew on one side, a rabbi. And he had an imam on the other side. And he is hugged up with them. And he was inviting them to come to the Vatican. So here we've got a Muslim. We've got a Jewish rabbi. And a so-called, the title, a Christian. And here we've got those three. I had never seen that in my day. And we are noticing that it's coming together. When the rapture takes place and the tribulation sets up and Jacob's trouble starts, we do know that Babylon will come out again. Babylon will be in two stages. There will be a religious Babylon and there will be a political Babylon. And we know that the Antichrist will rule through those, and that'll be what they call peace. I can see it now as it's coming together. And as I see the turmoil around the world and what you're seeing today in Iraq and the things that are going on, that will be in the lesson if we get to it tonight. And you can see how that things are laying in shape and how that it's not going to be any peace in this world until the Prince of Peace, the Son of God, comes. I believe that now, and I'm teaching that and preach it. I'm not a prophecy preacher, never claimed to be a prophecy preacher. But I do believe tonight that the Word of God is plain enough for us to understand these thoughts that I'm talking about. Now, let's go back and pick up where we were. with the Babylonians, and look at Babylon here in the tribulation hour. Revelation 16 and verse number 16. Now, by us reading this, let me give you one more thing, or you'll not catch on to what I'm fixing to read, or you won't catch on to what the importance of it is here. We read in the book of Isaiah and in the book of Jeremiah that God one day would destroy Babylon. We said, and we do know, that Babylon is the current Iraq. You remember that? We know that Babylon is the Iraq that we have. And God said He's going to destroy it off the face of the earth. And it won't inhabit anybody. One of these days that's coming to pass. That hasn't happened yet, but it will. And it's coming. So we know that God has said that. So here's the way it's going to head up. In Revelation 16, in verse 16, and He gathered them together into a place called, in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. Now, Armageddon has not happened. I've had people say we've had Armageddon. I've heard people believe that we're going to have another war and so forth. But there will be an Armageddon. The Bible talks about that. We haven't got there yet. Matter of fact, the church won't see it unless they're standing beside the Lord when He takes care of business. And we will. Somebody said, what do you think you're going to know about this? Whatever the Lord lets me see. Amen. I'm glad that I'm not going to be here when the war is going on. Where are you going to be? I'm going to be in heaven. Amen. With the Lord. Amen. And we hadn't got back to the earth yet. And we find that a little bit past the 16th chapter in Revelation. Now in verse number 17, He said, and the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air. There came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. Now what's done? The judgment of God's coming. God is sending out the judgment. And He said, and there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. Now the Bible said, and we've had some pretty terrible earthquakes, but there has never been one like fixing to come. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon, here's where I'm talking about, great Babylon, came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine, the fierceness of His wrath. Now we could talk about that quite a bit, and I'm not going to spend time on it. I'm not into the prophecy part of this tonight. I'm just looking at Babylon, how that God's going to bring this in judgment and bring Babylon down. Slide over to chapter 17. Let's look at some things in chapter 17. The Bible said in verse 1, and there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Now, if you don't know what that is, and somebody said, I'm all confused, I don't know what this is. What in the world is many waters? The way that you're going to understand the Scriptures is to take the Scriptures and let the Scriptures unfold the Scriptures. Amen. The best way to learn the book is to get the book. The book will reveal the book. Amen. And I'm talking about the Bible. If you want to know, don't take Dr. Bottlestopper's commentary. Take the Bible. The Holy Spirit will do it. Now you said there's some things I can't understand. Well, don't worry about it. That's kind of them bones I was talking about this morning. Slide it to the side. There's a lot of... I believe I know a little bit more about my Bible tonight than I did when I started preaching 46 years ago. Amen. I honestly believe I do. Now listen. Go with me in chapter 17 and verse number 15. Now we're talking about here's one sitting on the great horse sitting upon many waters. What's this many waters? First thing comes to your mind is an ocean. Go to verse 15. The Bible said in verse 15, and he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are, now it tells you what those waters are. They are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. Now does that clarify it? What is it? It's a ruler. She's a ruling, or this great whore is ruling over many waters, over many people. Now, let me just throw this in to you tonight. We have so much today. People talk about racial preferences, and they talk about how that some folks are, I don't even like to get into their terms. I am not racial. Amen. I preach to anybody. But let me just give you this. Go home tonight and take your concordance and look up the word race, would you, in your concordance, and go in your Bible every place it says race. And you'll only find that word race is mentioned about running. Amen. It's not mentioned about nationalities. See, God don't deal with people in races. Amen. That's a thought that people need to know. You need to get this in your mind. But God does deal with peoples and nationalities in that sense. God recognizes this and He says this here. Peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. That means that they're all of different ethnic backgrounds and so forth. And God don't even look at this color of the skin. Now I believe that there's a place for that. Amen. And I believe God wants that to be separated. But I'm telling you tonight, God don't look at things like we look at things. I'm glad He don't. Amen. And one of you, when God saved you, had a black heart. Amen. That's right. And it's amazing to me how God can take a black heart and make it white as snow. Through the blood, it's red. How about that? Now, look with me. So we found out that this whore is set upon many waters. So it's one who is in rulership over peoples. You got that now, haven't you? Look at verse 2. With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and that the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit in the wilderness, and I saw a woman. Look at this. A woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. Now, preacher, you got me all mixed up. What in the world is all this? Well, look at that word woman. Who's the woman? All right, let the Bible explain that. Go down with me to verse 18. The Bible said in verse 18 of chapter 17, and the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. It's not a literal woman. It's what? It is a great city. We're going to find who that is in a minute. Read on in that same verse. And if you look at that beast, brother, that is the Antichrist you'll see in here. But he goes on, he said, having seven heads and ten horns. Who in the world and what in the world is that? Let the Bible tell you. Look at verse number 12. It said, and the ten horns which thou sawest are what? Ten kings. Alright, these are going to be some ten rulers of these countries. Amen. Which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. Go down to verse number 16. You want to know what the ten horns are? It says it again. And the ten horns which thou hast sawest, or which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. Now we're seeing a religious Babylon, and a political Babylon in control. Go on down. He's going to explain some more to us. I may be confusing you, but I want to let you know that this is Babylon. I'm not trying to confuse you. We may, at the end, sum this up and maybe clear up some ideas that you might have. But look at verse 4. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. This is not a woman. This is a ruler over a city. And it's a city involved. You get it? You understand? His people in control. The Gentiles are still in control here. Verse 5. And upon her forehead was a name written. Now you know who it is. Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Babylon has not been put down yet. But she will. Brother, there's in that thing. I, for a long time, couldn't figure out how that the Roman Catholics and the Muslims are going to come together, but I'm beginning to see it now. I preached something tonight that preachers done died and left the scene, didn't know about. But I'm seeing it unfold in my day. And I'm getting excited every time I got to where I keep up with it, every bit of it, as much as I can. And I get excited when they tell something about the news and it relates to my Bible. Now I told you this the other day, maybe I didn't. But I thought I might have told you that the best way to interpret the news is to interpret the Bible first, and the Bible will interpret the news. Most of us are taking the news and trying to interpret the Bible, and it won't work that way. Amen. We got to take the Bible. We can interpret to the news. This Bible is more up to date than tomorrow's newspaper. It's more up to date than next year's newspaper if the Lord don't come. All right? Now we got that. Go with me a little bit further. Let's look at Revelation chapter 19 quickly. I'm just showing you that Babylon's going to end. Now, if you don't remember all the other things we said about Babylon, you may be in the dark a little bit. You may need to go back and listen. This is the eighth lesson on this. And you may need to go back and get the other seven and come up from number one to where we are to understand where we're at tonight. And I challenge you to do that. But in Revelation chapter 19, look at verse 11. The Bible says, now here's where the saints of God are. Where are the saints of God in chapter 16 and 17 and 18? We're in glory with the Son of God. The earth is taking care of its business. Babylon is going across the country, and we'll find the tribulation is working. Now in verse 11, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was faithful, was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. And you go on down in verse 16, he said, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we know that's none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And we'll find he's coming back from heaven. And brother, we're coming back with him. When we get to verse number 17, he's come back. And now it said in verse 17, and I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. God said, I'm going to take care of business. And brother, you'll see why he's going to get a wind up. He said that he may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and of them that sit on them and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beasts and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. Amen. And then we just see how God's doing. God's going to take care. Brother, he's going to take, this won't be the last battle. Brother, he's going to take care of business here. The last battle that's going to take place will be after the thousand-year reign, when Satan's loose for a little time and he goes out in the world to deceive people, to give them an opportunity to be saved, amen, to the Lord, of course, or to reject the Lord. And so that's what the devil does. He goes out and he tries to draw him a crowd, and he draws a crowd against God again, and then we find that God's going to take care of business, and then the battle of all battles, brother, ages of all ages will usher in. I want you to tell you, God is going to make everything new. Amen. Now that's saying that much. Let's go back tonight. We've already worked our way to Revelation. Let's go back to Genesis. We need to start all over again. And we are talking about Babylon. You found where Babylon got started. We found it started off in the book of Genesis. Now tonight, I want you to go to Genesis chapter 16. I want to look at another side of this thing. In chapter 16, remember in chapter 12, God has promised Abraham all the land. But in chapter 16, we see something else coming up. And why do we have such a mess in the Middle East? I'm going to talk about that a little bit tonight. I hope I'm not going too fast for you. But we're going to look at this in the 16th chapter and see where the mess of what we got over there. In chapter 16, I want you to go to verse 11. In Genesis chapter 16, in verse 11, the Bible said, and the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. And notice what he says about this man, Ishmael. In verse number 12, and he will be a what kind of man? Wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. Now, I believe you can understand where I'm coming from tonight and where the Word of God is. Has Ishmael and his crowd come down the line? Have they been wild men? We can see it in our day today. Russia was over in Iraq and trying to take care of Afghanistan and those things, trying to take care. They did not accomplish anything. America's been over there, and they've been fighting. We've lost men, spent money, and we've had people that are really in bad shape physically tonight because of fighting the wars, fighting the wild men. Amen. When we haven't won the war, they're still doing it tonight. They'll do it tomorrow, and they'll continue to do it. Because God said Ishmael and his crowd would be a wild man. And what did it say? He said, and his hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. Is that true tonight? Is he against it? They're not just against Israel. They're not just against the countries around them. They're against the United States of America as well. They're against the whole entire world. You see that from the Word of God. And I'm not being here tonight trying to put down anybody. I'm just telling you what God said. Once we ever see what's going on and we get that, we can begin to understand some things of the Lord. And brother, we can get it together. Now, what I'm trying to show you tonight, Abraham had children by three women. He had a child by the name of Ishmael by Hagar. Hagar was the handmaiden. And we know that the handmaid and bear a child by the name of Ishmael. And it's because of Sarah and Abraham's disobedience and their impatience with God that caused them to get in trouble. You can laugh at that and talk about it and make fun of it and say what you want to about Abraham and Sarah being impatient. But how many times have you got yourself in a mess, maybe not in that particular area of your life, but how many times have you got yourself in trouble by being impatient with God? We try to get ahead of God. God promises something, and we're going to try to help it come to pass before it's time. And that's what Abraham did. He wanted to have a child. Sarah wanted him to have a child. And so they got ahead. They got in trouble. Anytime you get ahead of God, you get in trouble. That's where Ishmael come from. Then we know that Abraham had Sarai, or Sarah. And we know that she had a child by the name of Isaac, which is a type of Christ. We'll talk about that in the Scriptures in a minute. But you know, Sarah died. And then he married Keturah. And we'll look at her in just a little bit. And there were some children born to Keturah. And so there the lineage comes on down. So now let's look at something as we begin to study. Here's a child born in chapter number 16 of the book of Genesis. And in this chapter we know he's half Hebrew and he's half Egyptian. Amen. That's what he is. He's half Egyptian, half Hebrew. Now we go to chapter 17. When we get to chapter 17, we move over to verse number 15. In chapter 17, 15, and God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations, kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed, and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. Amen. He said, and God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed. And thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. Now, what I've mentioned those two for is to show you this. There's some promises of God to Ishmael. There's some promises of God to Isaac. We got to get these fixed in our mind or we're going to mess up. There's 11 times in chapter 17 that you find the I will of God. The Bible said in chapter 17, verse 2, and I will make my covenant. Two things I want you to notice as we go through this 17th chapter. The I wills of God and the word covenant. You know what a covenant is? It's an agreement. We have an agreement. God had an agreement. God said, I will make a covenant. That's what he means. Again, we got two covenants according to the Bible. The new covenant and the old covenant. The Old Testament, the New Testament. It's an agreement with God. But here he said, I'll give you a covenant. In verse number 2. Now, when we look at this, he's not giving this to Ishmael. He's giving it to Abraham. And God's telling that. And then I want you to go to verse number 6. The Bible said, and I will make thee exceedingly fruitful. And then he said, I will. I will mentioned twice in verse number 6. Verse number 7, I will establish my covenant, my agreement, my promise. In verse 7. In verse 8, he said, I will give unto thee. And at the last sentence of that, he said, I will be their God. You see that? When you get down to verse 9, he said, and God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant. You see it? And then in verse number 10, this is my covenant. Amen. He said, every man shall all among you shall be circumcised, and God give that as a covenant. Verse 11, and ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant. That's a promise betwixt me and you. Get down in verse number 13. He that is born in thy house, and he that is bought with thy money, must needs be circumcised, and my covenant. God made a covenant. And the last word of verse number 14 is covenant again. Now in verse number 16, he's talking about Isaac. And we are seeing this, we've already read it. Verse number 16, he said, and I will bless her. Talking about Sarah. And he said in the last, a middle part of that, yea, I will bless her. Twice he said that. And so God has made the covenant that was with Isaac. God gives that. Now God's got some I wills also concerning Ishmael. So turn down into verse number 20. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. Now I'm going to throw this in right quick because we don't have time to get into it. But it'd be good for you to go study this. There was 12 tribes of Israel that came through the loins of Jacob. You remember that? Jacob's name was changed to what? Israel. And so there's 12 tribes of Israel. When he's talking about the 12 tribes of Israel, he's talking about the 12 sons of Israel. And they are the heads, you know. And they come on down and we find them all the way through. People referred back to those tribes. And I said in this study that the Jews do not tonight know what tribe they are of. The records are gone. But God does. God still does. And so He'll know when it gets to the 7th chapter of Revelation how to get 12,000 out of every tribe to make them to be preachers of the gospel of the kingdom to seal the seal of God in their forehead. So God knows what He's doing. But notice in verse 20, and as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget. And notice what he said, I will make him a great nation. And they have become great. May not be in the good side, but they're great. And by multitude, by numbers, amen, they're great. Now, in verse 21, but my covenant will I establish with Isaac. He said, I'm going to make a covenant with Isaac, but I'm not going to make it with Ishmael. I'm going to multiply them. I'm going to make them a great nation. But they're not going to have my covenant, my promise of what I'm giving. Understand that? So there are people tonight that do not have the promise of God for the land. Understand that, don't you? You can see that plain as a nose on your face. But he said, but my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. And he left off talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. And now verse 23. Abraham takes Ishmael up and circumcises him forth just like God wanted it to be done. So we find something taking place here tonight. We'll find the covenant, we'll find the I wills, and we're seeing these things take place. Now this mess in the Middle East is composed of Ishmael. That's the component that we're having with those people tonight that are trying to take over in that area. You understand? Israel's not only had a trouble with Babylon, but she's had a trouble with the Arabs. You understand that, don't you? You understand where they're coming from, and here's how it got there. So you see, they're getting bombarded from all sides. And there's another little phase, too. And we may not get into that tonight, but we may touch a little bit of it. But you'll find out that there's Jacob and another called Esau. And Esau, who sold his birthright for a mess of pottage, and there's been trouble with the children of Esau ever since. And Esau's giving them trouble. That's why the Jews sitting over there, they are in a dangerous spot, but they're in the wonderful spot. Amen. It's dangerous when you look at it from the world standpoint, but it's glorious when you look and see where God is on them. They're God's people. Amen. And I believe America ought to really befriend Israel. In the last years, when I first started preaching, everybody talked about Israel in the political world and tried to stand with Israel. But now we're living in a society that people now are taking against Israel. And brother, I'd be scared to go against the land of Israel. If I was going to get on the right side, brother, I'd be backing up Israel tonight. Amen. I leave all the others alone. And brother, I'd give Israel all the help they needed. Amen. And somebody said, I don't know what they'll do. I don't know. We're in a mess. We're just looking for the coming of the Lord. And I believe it's right at hand. I honestly believe that tonight. Now, I want you to look at something. Go to chapter 21 of the book of Genesis. Chapter 21 of the book of Genesis. Just like it always is, there began to be a problem with Hagar and with Sarah. Amen. That's right. I look at all these folks, and some folks believe in polygamy, and they've had three or four wives. Amen. And Lord, have mercy. I've been married quite a while, and I can just... One's enough. Period. Amen. One is enough. Can't you imagine having two wives and all the jealousy? I mean, they're jealous. They ate so much jealousy when they just won. Amen. You get your boat out and go to fishing and see if you don't have a problem. Amen. Stay on the lawnmower too much and see what happens. It's just natural, isn't it? I know you women ain't liking that, but that's still the truth. Amen. And it's just natural. I can't change you. You was made that way. Amen. But we'll see what happens when there's two in the house. So here's what happened in verse 9. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman. Get rid of her. She's got to go. That's what she's saying. It's over. Ain't nothing, no ifs, ands, and buts about it. She's gone. I can't take it no longer. It's her or me. Amen. For the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. So they separated. And so then we find in chapter 21, in verse number 21, and he dwelt. After they separated, we find how that God took care of them and got them out, kept them from starving to death and give them water. But in verse 21, and he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, talking about Ishmael. And his mother took him a wife out of the land of where? Egypt. And that's where you got problems. And they're coming through all that country and all them's mixed in. And now we got problems. And there they are. Now, if you'll look down in chapter 25. Go to chapter 25 and go to verse number 12. We're going to look at the generations of Ishmael. We're not going to be able to get through this tonight. My time's done caught me, but he said in verse 12, now these are the generations of Ishmael, Abraham's son, whom Hagar the Egyptian, Sarah's handmaid, bare unto Abraham. And these are the names of the sons of Ishmael by their names, according to their generation. The firstborn of Ishmael, and he gives them all their names, there's 12 of them. And it goes on to say in verse 17, and these are the years of the life of Ishmael, 137 years, and he gave up the ghost and died and was gathered unto his people. And they dwell from Havilah unto Shur, that is before Egypt, as thou goest toward Assyria. And he died in the presence of all his brethren. So we find where they settled, and that's where they are. And they're working, been working there since. Now, this terrible bitterness has been there. And since Abraham cast out Hagar and Ishmael, they have been trying to cast out Israel since. You see the animosity. And you'll see the problems. And that's going to be a problem, and that's where it come in at. And so that's why you have the problems with that today, if you hadn't ever stopped to think about it. Now, Israel has been scattered. But now she's started coming back into the homeland. They said in 18, I wasn't here then, but I read my history a little bit. In 1897, they had Zionism got established, and the Zionist movement began to take place, and the Jews began to go back to the Holy Land. In 1917, and I know they had some problems with this, but called the Balfour Treaty. Some of you heard that in history, the Balfour Treaty, which made Palestine the home for the Jew, and under provisions and under protection, allowed the Jew to go back to Palestine. Now, I believe Palestine, I believe Israel be forced out of their land once more. Amen. I know that's going to catch your eye. But I read the book of Revelation, you're going to find out that they're going to be under such turmoil, and they're going to have to run for their lives and hide And Brother God will put them somewhere and take care of them. But they're going to get that land. It's just going to be a short time that they're going to come out of that land for their protection of their life. And we also know that 1948, they established Israel as a nation. And they've been going back now for the last 100 years, almost, at least 100 years, they've been going back now to the homeland. They've been trying to get established back in that land. They're wanting to go back for three reasons. Write this down in your notes. Three reasons the Jew is trying to go back to the homeland. Number one, he wants to go back for political reasons. So he's got his own nation, his own country, his own government, his own flag. A real true Jew in this country. Now some of them will stay here and they'll never go back. Because Babylon got over and some of them didn't go back out of Babylon. So it still happens that way. But as a general rule, though, they're wanting to go back for the political reasons. They're tired of flying under somebody else's flag. They want their own nation, their own flag, and they want their own identity. That's one reason. It's political. They want to go back. Number two, they want to go back for the cultural reason. They want to go back over there for the fact that they are what they are. They want to establish their Jewish customs. In America, they can't do their Jewish customs to the full extent. But they want to go back over to the Holy Land to get their Jewish customs. And then number three, they want to go back for the religious a part of it, and for the religious reasons, so that they can go back and begin to put in Judaism and the rituals and looking for their Messiah. See, they don't realize that Jesus, the Messiah, has already come. Amen. That's right. But He has. So that's why they want to go back. So we're looking here tonight. We'll see what's happened with all the bitterness. And we'll find out it's from Ishmael on his side and so forth. Now, I'm going to stop there because I wanted to get into Jacob and get down and find out what happened. There's another area. Let me just give you this one more thing. Go to Genesis chapter 37, since we're on Ishmael and Ishmaelites. You remember, they do figure in a lot of things. Chapter 37 of the book of Genesis. And we'll close in verse number 27. You remember Jacob sent Joseph down to check on the brothers. He's the one that had the coat of many colors. And when he got down there, they had an animosity in their heart toward their brother. And so what they did is they put him in a pit. And verse number 24 said they put him in a pit. The pit didn't have no water in it, so there he was. And so they decided what we better do is do something with him, so we'll just sell him. Verse number 27, come and let us sell him to the who? Sell him to the Ishmaelites. Oh boy. And let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh, and his brethren were content. But look what happened. In verse 28, then there passed by Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites. So they didn't sell him to him. The Midianites did. For 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. And so what happened? Reuben goes back in verse 29, returned under the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit. And he rent his clothes, brothers. So they had to get their story changed. So they had done, took his, his coat, many colors, killed a kid goat and put the blood on it and took it back and said, guess what? Does this look like Joseph's coat? And they said, yes, it is. He said, then look at the blood. He's been killed. But you see how that Joseph got down into Egypt. He come down there through the Ishmaelites. Amen. You see how all that ties up? Brother, there's been a war over there in that country and always will. So one of these days, the Lord's going to come and straighten it all out. I'm looking forward to the time when this earth is going to be changed. And brother, there's going to be peace forevermore. Amen. No peace till Jesus comes. So that's a little bit about the Ishmaelites, and just a little bit. We could get into a deeper study on this, but we'll hold there. You understand a little bit now what's happened? We've got the Babylonians, the Gentiles working against them. We've got the Ishmaelites, and of course we're going to have the sons of Esau on them too. And they've just been fighting. It's just a war over there. It's just a war. And it all is in the Scriptures. It's right here. If America could just see this and our politicians could just interpret the Scriptures and see what's going on, it ought to change their politics. It ought to. And it would if they'd get a hold of it. But they're not seeing everything. All right, heads bowed, eyes closed. And I hope this has been a help to you and a strength and encouragement. Still got quite a bit to go with the Jew, the Gentile, and the church. We're still working with the Jew. We've incorporated a little bit of the Gentile, and we'll do some more of that as we go, and then we look at the church. You see, the Old Testament couldn't see the church. Couldn't see it. They just didn't see it. But God had it planned, and they couldn't see it. All right? Well, if you will, would you stand tonight while they play? And if there's any reason tonight you need the altar, come to the altar. I always like to give an invitation. And if God has spoke to your heart tonight, I'll give you an opportunity to come and call upon the Lord. May God bless you. How about it? Yes, sir. Come on. Amen.